You are listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 305. Beep, beep. My kids love that.
Welcome to season 8, episode 305 of the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast. Today is September the 18th, 2017. Every week, we try to definitively answer one question about the future of tech. To do that, we take into account many factors, including the companies involved, people working for them, their marketing campaigns, and of course, the technology they're developing. I'm Matthew Dean Furlough, and not being blown away by howling winds of a hurricane is my brother James Furlough.
Yeah, dude, Pacific Northwest, that's where to live. I mean, granted, it's burning to the ground, but no hurricanes, so.
I hate to be an advocate for the Bay Area, but except for that really weird bout of 100 plus temperature last week, we've had a wonderful year.
Ours has been wonderful too. It's true. So I got to see a totality. So I'm not going to complain that hard.
Oh yeah, that's right. I did.
That's right. You've had nothing happen. Your place is boring.
Wow. I got a partiality. We almost had something happen.
Almost.
So this week, you have to do a disclosure. I do.
How you want? I founded and work for HPI, but don't represent HPI or any of HPI's opinions. I also am part of Twitter, Etsy, and Lending Club. That was smooth.
Yeah. All right. We'll work on that. So this week, we got a question, and that we're going to ask. The question is: does Uber with Dara? Oh, I got it.
You got this.
Khosrowshahi. Does Dara Khosrowshahi?
Khosrowshahi?
No.
Khosrowshahi. Khosrowshahi. Khosrowshahi.
Unless YouTube's lying about
my emphasis is probably on the wrong syllable.
Yeah, we're all over the place, but we're close. We're trying. Does he, the new CEO of Uber?
Let's call him Dara.
There we go. Have a chance to survive and find sustainable growth.
Yeah, that's a great question, because they got this new CEO who I can't say his name at all. We'll call him Dara. And it's been a long road for him to get to this point. And Uber's been through a lot. And so we want to talk about them. And, I've ratted on them quite a bit in the past, but a lot has still happened.
Criminals?
Yes. Whatever. It turns out they're actually still one of the largest non-public tech companies out there, and they are genuinely attempting to change the transportation industry. By the way, that's just like Waymo's trying to change the transportation industry in last week's episode. See how we're like tying things together? It's kind of awesome. It's like a series that we weren't even trying. So anyways, what I want to do is I want to start off with a review of all that's happened to get us to this point, and then we want to kind of use that as a jumping point to say, all right, where do they go from now? Can they actually survive? Let's just talk about that. So real quick, here's a non-exhaustive list of the bad things that have happened in the last 7 months. And this comes from Ben Thompson via Strategery. He's got five of them. First one was the Delete Uber campaign. Remember that one when Trump instituted a travel ban, Uber was like, fine, we're not picking people up at the airport. And people were like, I hate you, Uber. And which on one end you're like, wow, that was an interesting. I think people just wanted a reason to delete Uber, but anyways, became a thing.
And it was because they did pick people up at the airport.
It was one of the ways.
No. The taxis were protesting by not picking people up at the airport, and Uber was like, sweet.
Gotcha. That's right. So Delete Uber happened. And then there was the fallout from the Susan Fowler blog post, and the Holder investigation, where essentially she was talking about how, guys were misogynistic and, making advances on her. Turns out it was all true and much worse than what she even said. So some internal problems. Then number three, my absolute favorite one, is they got the lawsuit from Waymo alleging the theft of their intellectual property. And
only alleged it because they did steal from Waymo.
Yes. They had an employee who downloaded a ton of data. And the real question was, did he share that with Uber, or did he just keep it with himself to inform him for the new LiDAR stuff? It's super fun stuff. Number four, there's other revelations of past misconduct. Specifically, the big one is Grayball. And that one has actually prompted an investigation from the Justice Department. Man, they're just doing great. And by the way, Grayball, it was this secret software that they had installed in the app that would somehow, I don't totally know how it works, but it would identify the authorities and then hide information from them so they couldn't properly check on Uber. It's just, that's shady.
Yeah. And then I'm going to throw this one in before your last point, because literally 2 days ago, it was announced that the FBI is investigating Uber for tracking Lyft riders.
And oh, that's right.
Using anti-competitive software. Like, this was yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they're just doing great. And then number five, it's the forced resignation of the founder and CEO, Travis Kalanick, who is a piece of work himself. And not only that, but he had an explosive lawsuit between himself and the company's biggest investor, Benchmark Capital. Yay! Which is going to come up later on, because that actually played a role in the selection of Dara, which is interesting. Oh, yeah. Let's not forget this. They lost $2.8 billion last year.
That's pretty good.
That's a
They spent $2.8 billion? That's a lot of money to spend.
No, they spent significantly more than that.
Oh.
Yeah. See, they actually, and we're going to talk about this a little bit later, they actually make money.
Yeah.
So they spent like $6.5 billion just on payouts to drivers.
See, that's the problem.
Yeah. So, and again, it's normal for startups to lose money up front, but everyone likes to point at Amazon, right? Amazon lost millions of dollars. Yeah. That's an M. There's a difference. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so there's a lot of internal and external issues that Dara is going to face day one. But I real quickly, before we even jump into that, let's talk about how he became CEO, okay? Because that in itself is just a fascinating story. And so I'm getting my information from Mike Isaac. There's two A's in there, just probably Isaac on. He's from the New York Times, and it sounds like it was a pretty wild ride. See what I just did there? Anyways, there were three candidates. There was the former, he wasn't really former at the time, General Electric CEO, Jeff Immelt. The HPE, my former boss, CEO, Meg Whitman. Full disclosure, I don't represent HP. Yeah. And then the Expedia CEO, Dara. It's interesting, Kalanick favored Immelt, because it was believed that he'd only be around for like 3 years. And then at that time, he would hand the reins back to Kalanick. And so it was like, oh, just be time to be grouped, take a break, let him focus on some product development.
Well, to be the shadow CEO, to be the real CEO. Because everybody would know that Kalanick would be coming back in 3 years. So don't do anything that would upset Kalanick, because he'll be back in 3 years.
Yes, so exactly. Ridiculous. So as you can imagine, there were some board members who didn't love this idea. And so eventually he was out. Now, despite Meg Whitman's very public tweets saying, I am in no way interested in this job, she actually showed up to the final day and presented her view of the future. So she was in the running till the very end. So how about that? And what's interesting is that after he dropped out, she became the clear favorite and began demanding more, because she felt her bargaining position kind of change. So she wanted a couple things. First thing is she wanted to box Kalanick out, which I'm like, probably not a bad idea. She also wanted to reshape the board of directors, aka fire all of you and hire new ones. Yeah. Which actually she did something very similar to that with HP, and it turned out to be a good thing. And then she also was like, apparently,
for the record, she's telling the people that are about to hire, as soon as you hire me, I'm going to try to fire all of you.
Yes.
Okay.
And then one of her other requirements was that she needed the lawsuit between Kalanick and Benchmark to be dropped. Apparently, she's good friends with the people at Benchmark Capital. And so with that, like, Kalanick didn't like her as a result, and she was like, you just got to mend your ways. My dog's in here. So what it sounds like is that she asked just a little too much. And so the board kind of went, so Dara, tell us more about yourself.
Yeah.
He was kind of a little bit of a dark horse. And he became the last candidate standing. I mean, it was like Survivor, essentially. Now, and I love this quote from the New York Times, because it just encapsulates how messed up this board is. Okay, so it says by Sunday evening, because they went into like a powwow, right? We're going to spend the weekend to just figure this out. By Sunday evening, the conclusion had hardened into a unanimous vote for Dara, and the board also agreed to hold the news. They agreed to hold the news until they had time to formally offer him the job and tell Uber employees that he had accepted. After months of turmoil surrounding the company, it was the least the directors could do to instill confidence among the rank and file. Minutes later, news of the board's decision leaked. Just wow.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. So, despite this this winding road, oh man, it's so easy to do puns here. Despite the winding road, Dara is actually a pretty good choice, and there's three reasons for it. The first one is he comes from the tech industry, and Expedia is an aggregation company, and you could in some ways think of Uber as the same idea. It's taking all these different little operators and matching them up with customers.
I see what you're saying, but I do feel like that's a bit of a stretch.
Okay. Fair enough. The other one though, and this one's actually kind of important. He's a finance dude and he cares a lot about the metrics. And apparently like Uber's still really immature on their finance stuff. Like here's an example. They cannot tell you the unit cost of a ride anywhere near real time. They could just after the fact do some summaries, average them all out and go, oh, this is about how much it costs per ride. And I feel like that's an important number to know for your business. And so he's going to help bring that kind of care and rigor. That's the word I wanted, rigor to some of their business, which again, they lost $2.8 billion. They need some of that. The other interesting one is that he took control of Expedia when it was in trouble. Because they were changing business models. So the way that Expedia used to work was they would buy a whole bunch of hotel rooms at wholesale rates and then resell them at retail to customers.
Yeah.
That was a business model. And then booking.com came along and said, no, we're going to do more like an agency model where we're not going to buy the rooms ahead of time. We're just going to charge a small fee on top of it. And so margins were significantly less, but they also didn't have to buy swaths of rooms ahead of time. And as a result, their rates are actually cheaper. And so Expedia was suffering big time from that competition. And he was able to say, okay guys, time to change up the business model. We got to adopt or die. And he actually did it. And I would say Uber's definitely in trouble at this moment. So he has experience with this. So then the final thing that I want to, final piece of background that I love to bring up here is that according to Chris Zook of the Harvard Business Review, here's what he thinks they has to do to win. And I love
Harvard. Who's ever heard of
Harvard, the HBR. There's two ways to think about it. There's the inner game and the outer game. So for the inner game, there's four barriers to growth. And he's like, and Uber hit all four barriers. Yay! The first one is that you have an unscalable founder. They just can't, for whatever reason, their skill set doesn't work with the size of the company and the complexity of the issues. They have that problem. But I'd say maybe they fixed it, right? They got a new founder. So check for that one. The next one is when you have revenue growing faster than your talent, which is kind of like the same issue. So right now, 13 of their top 20 management positions are empty, including chief operating officer and chief financial officer.
And it was 14 of the 20 like a week ago.
Yes.
Or the CEO. I mean, they are like
right.
disarray from a management perspective.
Yeah. So that's a huge issue that he's going to have to face right up front. The next one is lost voices on the front line. And essentially the focus becomes internal issues and not customers. And so it's one of those things where it's like, you gotta, because you're growing so much, you're just trying to keep your own ship afloat. And so he gives four examples where, remember there was that one exchange between Kalanick and a driver late night that just so happened to be recorded. So not focusing on the customers. They did this driver survey last year that showed that Uber drivers are now less satisfied than Lyft drivers, which is bad. These are
single datums, anecdotes don't count, but that has been true of every Lyft Uber combo driver that I've had in like the last couple of months, where I've asked them, which one do you like more? And they like overwhelmingly prefer Lyft.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. The other one that they're starting to experience is sudden drops in market share in key cities. And that kind of all started with the hashtag delete Uber campaign.
I use Lyft now. I didn't use Lyft 6 months ago.
Ah, interesting. And then the final one is that they're recommending that he spends a significant amount of time in the field, not in the corporate office, which are like, and he's going to have a ton of pressure to do the opposite. So it's going to be really hard. And then the fourth barrier is an erosion of accountability. And that's just, you just keep go so big, no one's really able to watch you and keep track of you. And they have a clear cultural problem. Hence all the investigations and some of their other issues happening inside very clearly. So that's just the inside game. Like, he needs to focus on those four barriers and help with the inside game. But then there's also the outer game, which is make money. Crazy concept. So remember, they lost $2.8 billion. I love to bring that up. So somehow he's got to figure out how to make that company profitable. And then also autonomous driving, as we talked about last week, you should listen to that episode 304. It's becoming a thing, and that threatens their entire business if they can't come up with an answer on their own. Oh yeah. And one final point. Let's not forget about Kalanick. He's still the largest voting shareholder, and he's a board member, and he clearly would like to stay involved and become the CEO again someday. So, you know, there's that. So with that, what do you think? Do you think Uber, with Daria as the CEO, do you think they have a chance to survive and find sustainable growth?
I would love to answer that question, but first we got to tip our hats to our sponsors. This week, this episode is brought to you by Bricks. They will save you your
home. You mean like Lego bricks?
Like Mason bricks. They will
Mason save, bricks.
They will save your home if you're attacked by a howling wolf. They will not save your...
That's true.
From if you're attacked by a howling hurricane. Just a heads up.
So go on. Interesting ad. Very specific use cases. Yes. Yeah. Just use the product right.
If it fits for you, go and get some bricks. If not, don't waste your money, I guess.
Do you have a color preference for your bricks?
Oh, red. Come on now.
Red? All right. You're a red man. All right. That's cool. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. So to answer your question about Uber, no.
You know what? That's my answer too. But I want to know your reasons why.
So there's this weird place in time where they're still in the zone of they can collapse.
About
like, you know, it's like, because we've talked about this before about companies like successful companies don't normally die. They just wither until they become something completely different, like IBM or not IBM. Sorry, but like
Yahoo.
BlackBerry.
Excuse me.
They become something different, completely different, like BlackBerry, and they're just a boutique security shop.
Okay.
Or they become like Yahoo/Palm, and they just wither until they get bought by somebody, and then they become something completely different.
But yeah. There
was Toros, that company a couple of months ago, earlier this year, that they were making testing strips, and turns out that they were like faking the results of it, and like,
they're
making tons of money. They were evaluated at like $5 billion, and they are gone. I mean, they just completely implode. You're at that implosion stage where you're so overreached that if things come off the rails, I mean, they can come off the rails completely. And I think that Uber was definitely like I think Uber was close to the edge of that, and
yeah, it's kind of weird. I mean, they had the capital to keep going, but like, if you're losing drivers and you're just not doing your business, like, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And their burn rate is so high that unless they keep money coming in, you know, and it's like, and the thing is there's tremendous competition. Like, Waymo has partnered with Lyft and Ford to build out a Lyft powered, Waymo powered fleet of Ford built autonomous vehicles to compete with what Uber's trying to do.
Like, yeah.
Everybody else, there is an unbelievable amount of competition. And this is a classic example of when PlayStation said the PlayStation Vive, their handheld controller, doesn't compete against the iPod Touch when it first came out. Like, they're like, there's no competition. We're not worried about it. But everybody was like, yeah, I know it's different, but it's the definition of competition. Like, yeah, I realize Uber's the big dog in this very narrowly defined field, but there is tremendous competition from all around. And even if you define them as the biggest winner in all of these areas, they're really close to having somebody just sweep up from behind, and they've got to keep moving. And I think the problem is that I've always been really annoyed by the quote, the fish rots from the head, because it's clearly not true. Like, the fish will rot from wherever the fish rots from.
I've never heard that quote before, but okay. Really?
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
I must live a sheltered life. Huh?
But that's really funny. But my problem with that idea is that it's like, no, this, but in this case, like, when the leader is he has no accountability for the people around him, except a really twisted sense of, like, you need to be loyal and you need to play ball with us. Like, he doesn't keep his accountability is, are you going to keep your mouth shut? Are you going to work until you're so exhausted you can't see straight? Are you going to let us use and abuse you, even because we're paying you really well? And as long as that's his account of, that's Kalanick's sense of accountability. And my problem is that Kalanick's still there. Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he still has a tremendous amount of
influence
over Dara and the other board members. Like, the cultural issues that are distracting them and are allowing Lyft, who is just chugging along, trying to make good decisions, moving forward, like, and they're growing and succeeding, the things that they're doing are not the things that Uber can do. They're not very nimble right now. They're distracted. They're, and I would say, you know, from a trajectory perspective, they are on they're doomed.
They're doomed.
Now,
you're doomed.
You did throw in a really big, you know, change to
what
could be their momentum with throwing Dar in there. And it seems like a pretty solid dude. But, you know, and this could be his magnum opus. Like, this could be where you learn, oh, this guy's, he's different. But
I also felt like that about, like, Marissa Mayer with Yahoo. I was like, man, she's different. She's smart. She gets product. She's came from the tech industry. She was intense. She didn't come from a place of a tough background. I don't think Google's ever had a tough day, really. And they're just kind of like, how do we count all that money? That's how hard it is for them. Right. But the point being,
this is the thing, is Mr. Mayer was instrumental in making the rocket ship go.
Right.
She helped build the rocket that launched into space. You are jumping on the board of a rocket that is falling or rocketing sideways and asking them, right the rocket. Like, for Marissa, that was... it's understandable that's not a skill set that she has. Dara, it seems like it might be different, but, like, honestly, I don't know. Like, I just don't know enough about Expedia and where they were. Like, especially in that, like, they weren't like Uber. Uber feels different. It feels bigger. It feels like there's more riding.
Yeah.
It feels like there's more pressure from every direction to... you know, I don't know. It just feels like it's more of a landmine than Expedia ever was, especially because media plays such a big role in it. Like, nobody ever was rooting for Expedia to fail other than Booking.com, you know?
Like, that's true. Hey, I bought plane tickets on Expedia recently. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good, like, that's the thing, is that his track record of success is good. When he succeeds well. He gets good people involved, good product people, focus on the customer. But, like,
maybe I'm coming around. I was a solid no. Now I'm like a...
The problem is that Uber's product...
Probably no.
Uber's product is great. Everything...
Yeah, Uber, but not at the price point that they need to charge to make
that's
money.
That's what my point is that it's like...
The product's not great.
Everything that's good about Expedia, that we as a customer like about Expedia, Uber already does. So it's all internal things. It's all media perception. It's all like, it's all, you have to make competitors who are rooting for you to fail stop rooting for you to fail. When the person that everybody, like, hates, when they hate Uber, the person they hate is Klanik, is Travis Klanik.
Yeah, yeah.
He's still there trying to guide the ship. Like, you leave him there. Honestly, I understand why Meg Whitman pushed the way she did. She said, I have a feeling that for her, the reason why she was like, she felt comfortable saying, oh, I'm never going to work for them, is because she knew that one thing. He's the problem.
Right.
If he's here, I can't be here. And if all of you are going to continue to support him, I can't have any of you here either. Do you want this company to survive? Do you want your investment to survive? Then all of you, everybody in this room needs to leave, and you need to trust me because I've done this before. And right. And I think the fact that Dara,
but you know, he may be thinking it too. He's just smart enough not to say it.
That's, yeah. See, that's the part. Okay, I'll say this. My expectation is this isn't going to work. My hope is that it does. Because if it does, this is going to be drama for years. It is the only way for him to succeed is to go toe to toe with the board, toe to toe with Klanik, and fight like a monster with them and win. Like, and like, it's not impossible. Like, he could be that kind of guy, and I really hope he is, because, oh man, it would be so exciting to watch this duel go down. Like, if that's the sort of guy he is, where he's like, oh no, you have to go, but I'll never say that out loud, and I'm gonna work as hard as I can to make you go, and I'll never say that out loud, like, that's exciting, because he'll start stacking the deck in his favor as quickly as he can to box Klanik out. And if he's that duplicitous, that's...
Well, and it's funny. I mean, he actually has a huge advantage with those 13 empty slots, right?
Yeah. Where,
like, he gets to put people in who are loyal to him.
Over half the management will be his guys, including super important positions.
I know.
Like, yeah, he has an opportunity to stack the company in his favor. And then, and as, like, you know, and start to, like, he can push. Like, it is definitely in his power to start lobbying all of the, like, individually. Take out the board members, have a dinner with them, and just, you know, bring up. Like, there's so much he could do. I'm excited to watch it, because because it's either just going to be a disaster and we're going to watch a giant company collapse, which, you know, the Schadenfreude
like
loves watching that. It's not healthy, but I like it. And then... Oh, but the other side of it is just watching, like, a masterful chess player go toe-to-toe with a really, really pretty questionable character, you know? And, like, to beat Klanik, you got to be willing, you got to be really smart, because he's going to play dirty.
He will play dirty. That's so true. I agree with everything that you're saying. The four things that I thought of, which gave me my big no, you know, again, I will keep hammering this. They are losing money hand over fist. And normally when startups are losing money, it's because they don't have a revenue model yet. They have one. What are their options are to charge more or cut costs. Like, those are their choices. And those are hard things to do. Like, if you're a company and you don't have a revenue model, you're like, we just got to find a revenue model. Like, that's what anyways, so that's a huge problem. I've already mentioned the Yahoo issue that they had, where someone who was smart, capable came in, couldn't do it, but you pointed out some good reasons why it might be different. I do agree, like, competition's huge. Like, Lyft, they're making moves. Like, one of the things they announced, and I love that they timed this, like, the exact same day they announced the new CEO at Uber, they're like, oh, by the way, we have full coverage in 32 states now.
Yeah.
More than anybody else. Now, granted, Uber has like 70% market share, but they're like, we can go everywhere. They're going after like the small markets, the Walmart strategy.
And we say, and the fact that Lyft opened 100 new regions this year alone already. Their goal was
they're
2017, and they did it by like July.
Yeah, so they're really getting after it. And you know, we'll see how that works out. If it's genuinely a better experience and things like that, that could be a problem. And then here's the other one that I want to bring up, which I think you hinted at with like BlackBerry. There was a point in time where MySpace was huge. Yep. They had an opportunity to take over the internet and to be a ginormous force with nature. And it was because of internal issues. They couldn't get their stuff together and they imploded. It wasn't overnight. I think there's technically still a MySpace.com. but it's not what it is anymore. And there's a big probability, like you were talking about, that they do it. And there just needs to be a catalyst where something changes that requires a quick response, and they're just busy rebuilding internally and can't respond in a way that they need to, especially if it's true that their metrics are not great internally. They may not even see it until it's too late, which is interesting. All right, man. Any final thoughts on this one before we put a pin in this?
Well, no, I'm
call Uber dead.
So I'm saying it's going to take 2 or 3 years.
All right.
I think they're
going to take them 6 months just to hire those people.
Yeah. So that's, I think you got my response. I think Lyft wins this one in the long run, and Lyft / Waymo and / Tesla / everybody else.
I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. He might change my mind on how I feel about Uber.
I know. Yeah. Like I said, I'm hoping that that's not the case, because I think it'll be a great story if it turns out.
Yeah. I think, and I think GoDaddy is a good counterexample of a company that had some questionable practices, and they got a new CEO and decided to grow up. And, now they're just like, did we have reasonable prices?
Yeah. That's good enough. You don't need. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Cool. I like it, man.
Awesome.
So
how about you? If do you want to ask our question of the week?
Yeah, man. So obviously, if you want to answer the same question that we asked, feel free. I mean, your opinion matters less than ours because we're the show host. I'm just kidding. Now, we'd love to hear what you think about that. But also, wondering what you prefer. Are you an Uber person, a Lyft person, a traditional cab person, like a wacko? I'm just kidding. So let us know. In the
I prefer to own my own vehicle. I'm an asset heavy generation. Yeah, fair enough. Cool. Awesome. Well, everybody, thanks for joining us. We really do appreciate it. You can check out all the links to this show on furloughbros.com. That's going to be /305. Also, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play. And we want to say thanks to a bunch of people who helped us write the content for this show. Ben Thompson with Strategery, Nick Bilton with Vanity Fair, Mike Isaac with the New York Times, Chris Zook with the Harvard Business Review, and then Tom Krishner via AP News. And finally, this podcast is sponsored by listeners just like you. Thank you so much. And it is brought to you by Bricks. They're heavy. I feel like that's a good tagline. So with that, I am James Furlow, and my boring climate of a brother is Matthew Furlow. And so we will talk next time. Thank you.